from our Lord. Now, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 18. Matthew 18. And we'll read from verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him just 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father," this is Jesus talking, "so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Wow. From his heart. You know, the word heart there in the Greek, a definition of that word heart, and by the way, it's mentioned 800 times in the Bible, that word. Cardiology. It's mentioned 800 times in the Old and New Testament, the same word. Never once does it mean the organ that pumps blood through our bodies. It always represents that inner part, that deepest part of us, the center of us. And the dictionary defines it as the capacity of moral preference. In other words, the capacity to have a moral act of direction. So the heart can decide the direction. And Jesus is saying, you must therefore forgive, not just with words, but from your heart. It's an interesting thing. You know, when I've been wronged in the past, I remember one thing that comes to mind. Oh, and by the way, have you heard people say, if you forgive, you must forget? It's popular, that, isn't it? Well, The Bible doesn't say that we must forget. The Bible doesn't put that on us. But men put that on us because we can't forget. I can't choose to forget something. I can't do that. It's not in the possibilities of the way my mind works. See, people put that on because they turn that which is spiritual, the enemy tries to turn it into work of the flesh. And then we feel guilty because we haven't forgot it. And every time we see them, we remember that which happened. And then we feel guilty. Oh, I haven't forgotten it. You're not meant to forget it. Relax. Don't put something on yourself that God didn't put on you. People put that on people. But God never says that. It's not biblical. It doesn't say that. It's not biblical. But what is biblical is to forgive. Okay? So to forgive is biblical. Now what happens, interestingly, is that when we forgive from the heart, as God allows, what happens is we do forget. But it's God who does it, not us. It's a work of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Can you see that? It's a work of the Spirit, not of the flesh. And so there's people, and I honestly, because the choice was this. There's people that have done wrong things. We all have people who've done that. And then what we do is we can decide to hold on to that unforgiveness, or we can decide to forgive. If we really do forgive from the heart, what happens is when their name is brought up, or when the incident is referred to, or something like that happens, there's nothing in the heart. There's peace, tranquility. But if we haven't forgiven, the emotions are straight there on the surface. What I've found is, particularly learned this through one situation that happened with Michael and myself and a business transaction. And in this business transaction, things went wrong. And I was so cross with this person. They had basically, in effect, stolen a lot of money from us. And I had a choice to keep this rage inside of me or to forgive. Now my feelings would never leave or lead me to forgiveness. My emotions, my feelings wouldn't do it. So every time I saw anything to do with them, the emotions would rage and come to the surface. But I knew that Jesus wanted me to forgive. So what I had to do is say, Heavenly Father, I make a choice of my will now to forgive, not based on my feelings, but based on faith. I choose to forgive based on faith, an action of faith, not based on my feelings. My feelings couldn't do it. They can't do it. Our flesh doesn't go that direction, but our spirit goes that direction. And when our spirit goes that direction, what happens is peace can follow, and a satisfaction that we're working the works that God has called us to work. Forgiveness is such a sweet thing, folks. Forgiveness is so powerful. It's so strong. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. It's so strong. And what happened was instead of, when I said that, when I saw anything to do with them, what I would do is I say, Heavenly Father, oh, I'm so happy that because I follow Jesus, I forgive them. I'm so happy that I can do that, Lord. And I'm so happy that now I ask that you bless them, Father God. Bless their lives. Bless their business. Bless them in everything. Bless their family. Father, I pray. And you know what? When I first started to pray that, perhaps I wasn't praying it with emotion. But you know, it didn't take too long till I was really calling out and all, wanting the best for them and their families. You see, what happens is we start walking by faith and it goes right against our natural emotions. But that takes a decision of our will. We have to decide to do that. And all the time our flesh will try and lead us the wrong way. All the time our flesh is going to try and take us down the natural instinct route, but our spirit is saying, no, no. I'm walking by faith, not by flesh. Okay? It's a simple but very powerful thing. And so when Jesus says from the heart, of course he knows our hearts. And so, you know, we mustn't con ourselves. We must walk circumspectly before him. We must make sure that it's not just lip service. We mean it from the depths of our being, the intent of our being. And that comes from faith. Does that make sense? Because in this world, we have a lot of opportunities to be frustrated. And, you know, unforgiveness can come in. But we must not allow that to happen. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 from verse 5. Here's a warning that Jesus gave. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Now, the tradition of the elders that they're referring to there, that tradition was the oral Jewish tradition, which later was manifested in the book they call the Talmud. Okay? He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" You know, it's a warning to anyone involved in religion that the religion that we have isn't just an outside thing, not church attendance, not just the appearance of being with God, but in fact, it's on the inside, and that heart, that direction of the will is clearly decided, and yes, it is for God, with no hypocrisy, but with truth and honor. Amen? Amen. In Ephesians 4:32, it says this, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Oh, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand, Pastor. You weren't there. You weren't there. You didn't hear the way they said. I don't care. I don't care, and I'm not interested. Ah, yeah, but don't care, I'm not interested. The mandate that we have is clear. And I always think of it this way. I think that if my Lord and my Savior, our Lord and our Savior, from the cross, looks down, I mean, if it was me and my flesh, I'd be saying, "Father, do the business. Do the business. Now they'll find out who I was." That's the flesh. This beautiful man, our Lord Jesus, hangs on the cross with the power of heaven at his call. The power of heaven. All the angels of heaven at his beck and call. And he looks down at those who are crucifying him, who are mocking him, who've spat at him and beaten him up, nailed him to the cross, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. What a beautiful Savior. Isn't he beautiful, folks? When I hear those words, I think of those words. You know, I don't know, for some reason, I want to go and kiss his feet. Beautiful, beautiful Savior Jesus we have. The scripture doesn't say, forgive one another when the offense doesn't amount to much. But if people have done a lot against you, then it's okay not to forgive them. It doesn't say that, does it? The verse doesn't read that way. But too many times, it's practiced that way. Too many Christians are allowing the flesh to rule them. And then they wonder why they aren't receiving God's best in their lives. But it's impossible to walk in the God kind of love while allowing the flesh to rule. To walk in the God kind of love, we must be yielded. Our spirits in charge of our flesh. If we're going to obey the Bible, we must let the inward man rule and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And it's only as we put Christ on and make no provision for the flesh, as Romans 13:14 says, that we're able to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. If we don't do this, if we don't walk in this way, what happens is there's a barrier. Now, it's very important that we get this. Recently, there was a healing meeting, and I knew that the Lord was going to heal this person. And she had, she was sitting in a chair, and there were various issues with her. One of them was, you know, the nice thing about a leg that grows out, or a blind eyes that are opened, as we saw in the testimony last week from the pastors in Texas, or the lame walking, or the deaf hearing again. The nice thing about some of these testimonies is that it's physical. It's miraculous. You can see it. It happens. And so when a leg grows out, for example, people can see what God's doing. So there was a crowd around because I knew God was going to heal this person. And nothing happened. As I ministered, nothing happened. And I thought, that's very strange. Because, you know, you're in the flow of God and you just know there's no question about it. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes. You just know. So I thought, what's going on? And then, of course, straight away, the first place I usually go to is a lack of forgiveness. And sure enough, that's what it was. And so I got her to stand up and then repeat the words of a forgiveness prayer. I told her what I was going to do. And then I asked her if she would want to pray a prayer like that. If she was to say no to me, I would have moved on to someone else. But she said yes, she wanted to do that. And she wanted to receive. I said, you have to go this route in order to receive. She chose that route. She prayed the prayer to forgive anyone who'd ever hurt her, anyone who'd ever come against her. I forgive them. I choose to forgive them, not because I feel like forgiving them necessarily, but I choose to forgive them as an act of faith. And so she prayed that prayer. I ministered, and that leg grew out about this much, folks, and everyone around. And I can see one lady's face still now, which was there, a lady with blonde hair, a young lady, and her mouth was like that. I at the time, I thought, oh, I wish I had a camera now. I'd just take a picture of that face. But it was through forgiveness that those things were accessed. And you know, forgiveness is a barrier to many things. Many times the Lord has provision for us, but there's a lack of forgiveness there. Many times there's provision and God's prosperity is there for us, for example. And we don't receive the best of God because we're not walking in that forgiveness. A lack of forgiveness is like a barrier to the blessings of God. We could picture, couldn't we, a man in the Bible known as Joseph. Let's just turn there, shall we? Let's just turn. Let's turn to Genesis 37. From verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Jealousy and envy, folks. Jealousy and envy. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. You know, sometimes God will give you a dream. Sometimes you should share it. Sometimes, perhaps it's best not to share it. But Joseph shared the dream, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream." I bet they were thinking, "Oh, great. Can't wait to hear this. Come on, Titch, what are you going to say now?" He said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Surely your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you." And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Interesting that he kept it in mind. Sometimes, you know, someone says something and it is really out there and it's really, but you know what? There's a ring of truth to it, and we keep it in our mind. And that's what he did. He was wisdom there. He could sense there was something there. Joseph then, we know, was sold. It says in verse 12, "Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, 'Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them.' So he said to him, 'Here I am.' Then he said to him, 'Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me.' So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, 'Where? What are you seeking?' So he said, 'I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks.' And the man said, 'They have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.' But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father.' So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. Wow. It's something, isn't it? Family situations. Well, come with me then, and let's see what Joseph, a man who was blessed with favor from God, said to those who sought to kill him. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis chapter 50, from verse 15, we read these words. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." They're still lying. They're still lying to him. They try to kill him. Even now they're still lying. And look at the grace of this man's response. Joseph weeps. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we are your servants. The dream comes true." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But watch what he says. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He comforts them. He speaks kindly to them. Folks, the way of wisdom, the way of prosperity, is a way of kindness, of love, of forgiveness. And God has called us to walk along that way. So you may remember the incident that has happened to you, the many incidents, but the bitterness is gone because you've got the cross in your picture. God in Christ forgave me, I also forgive you. That's what he's saying to us. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our trespasses as we sometimes forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive some of those who trespass against us, as we forgive those who trespass against us." But it's interesting what it says before that. "Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us, Lord, all that we need." Bread is a symbol of all the provision we could ever need. The shalom of God. The peace of God. You know, the Hebrew word peace, it means the whole, nothing missing, nothing lacking, the whole of the thing, the entirety of it, that we would be blessed and prosper. And the way to do that is to walk in forgiveness. You know, this morning, I wonder if there's things that, even as we've been talking here and listening to what the Word is saying, maybe there's people, maybe there's situations, there's things that have come to your mind, perhaps. Instances where maybe you're not sure that you've walked in that forgiveness. Let's just stand as we come to a close this morning. And I think we have an opportunity here this morning to respond to God and say, I'm deciding to walk in complete forgiveness. I'm going to choose to forgive. Whoever it is, whatever they've done, I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to give because necessarily my feelings say to, I'm going to forgive because the Bible tells me that's how I must walk as a Christian. I'm going to forgive as an act of faith this morning. An act of faith, I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose to walk in peace. I choose the prosperous way, the way of forgiveness. So, maybe we can just have some. And I want to invite people to respond. Let's all close our eyes. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the word that you share with us. Beautiful words of scripture that bring insight to our minds, that bring light into any darkness that we might have on the inside of us. As we're walking through this life on planet Earth and being transformed in an ongoing way, Father God, we sense that this morning there's things that have been brought up that need to be dealt with through prayer. We're going to pray a prayer, Father God, of faith, a prayer that's saying to you, have your way. Have your way with us, Lord, in our lives. We will not hold on to any unforgiveness toward anyone because we want to receive all that you have for us. We want to walk as Jesus walked. We want to live the Jesus life, the God life. We want to live the life of love, walking that love. And so, Father God, as we're here this morning now then, with our eyes closed in response to you, we say, yes, Lord, we choose to forgive. Now, look, if you want to pray a prayer of forgiveness for something or someone specifically, with every eye closed, no one looking around, just respond to God by lifting up your hand right now. I see hands lifted. Let me encourage you. Don't be tentative. You've got that prayer to pray. You lift up your hand. You respond. You're responding to God right now. And I would encourage all of us to pray these words together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in faith this morning. I ask that your will be done in my life. And I know that forgiveness is your will. I don't want any barriers to your blessing. I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose to walk in love. Following the example of Christ, my Savior. For those people and situations that cause me injury. I bring them to you now. And those that I can't even remember, I bring them to you now. And I choose, as an act of faith, to forgive everyone who's offended me. To forgive everyone who's hurt me. In any way at all. Following the example of Jesus, my Savior. I do this as an act of obedience and faith in His name. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Praise His name. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have of serving you and yielding our lives to you. Continue, Lord, to have your way with us today as we think about forgiveness, as we think about that which you're leading us to and leading us away from. In Jesus' wonderful name, praise be to God. Amen.